Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Hey, folks, welcome to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Bayousef. I am your host today, and we're talking about women in business, women entrepreneurs. And today, I don't know that if you've watched the movie Moonlighting, or Moonlight, I think it is the name of it, with Cher and Nicolas Cage, there's a scene where she slaps him and says, "Snap out of it." Kind of what we're going to be doing today is snap out of it. Come on, folks, get a grip and wake up. There's so many opportunities for women out there, and especially now, there's this huge tsunami, is what I call it, of opportunities for women. And so today's guest is Heather Havenwood, and she is actually a serial entrepreneur. She's sales and marketing coach and small business activist. She has her own radio show, The Win Radio, and she is the CEO of Havenwood Worldwide, as well as Chief Sexy Boss. She's written a book, How Female Entrepreneurs Are Beating the Big Boys, and I love that title. Welcome, Heather.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And you are so right. We are in a tsunami. So it's like, let's just ride the wave.
Absolutely. Because there are doors opening that have never opened before for us, Heather. So how did you decide, and when did you decide? Was there a point in your life that you decided that you wanted to address this opportunity for women to become entrepreneurs, to get out there and actually not just compete with the big boys, but actually beat the big boys?
It's a great question. So no, I didn't have this like aha moment. Actually, what was happening is I was dealing with my own survival inside of the big boy mentality. I mean, I've been in the information marketing industry as an entrepreneur since 2001. And before that, I was in corporate America. And my very first corporate America job, I was a B2B outside sales. And every coworker of mine was 20 years older than me or 15 years older than me, married with kids and all men. And when I first got the job, the gentleman who hired me didn't want to hire me. He laughed at me. He thought, "Oh, that's cute. You're cute. You should be customer service." And I kind of did this like, "No, I want this job." And he did. He literally laughed at me. And the only reason I got the job was kind of like, "Okay, well, like, sure, we'll give it to you. But don't worry, sweetie, you're not going to make it. And your customer service job is waiting for you." And I actually ended up being there for 4 years. So it was my first experience. I've been kind of in the survival of it. I didn't really realize the tsunami was coming for the last couple of years when I wrote my book, Sexy Boss. I wrote the book, Sexy Boss, for me, about really how I've been dealing with what I call the big boy mentality and how to deal with it. I mean, I've been in masterminds where it's me and 15 guys, and I'm at the table. I deserve to be at the table. And I've had men actually ask me to go get coffee. You know, so I think that I've just been dealing with it so much that I just forgot that there's other women out there who are ready to breakthrough. And so, but my mind has shifted in the last 24 months, 2 years, especially since my podcast, of like, I am helping other women to pull up and come through this big boy mentality and to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Heather, I was in banking, and that
you get it.
I totally get it.
I get it. And, upset. You know, you many outfit that looks like men too.
Many of the women out there listening, you understand as well, because if you've been in corporate, you know that for some reason that we are seen as more support staff instead of actually leaders. And right. I believe that corporate is, they're going to have to get on board, Heather. They're going to absolutely have to open up those doors because women are not going to stand for it anymore. Do you see that there is a huge movement for women in corporate? I don't have as much connection with corporate any longer, but do you see women in corporate standing up or maybe just leaving it altogether to start their own business?
Yeah, well, I see. I really focus on the entrepreneur world and business ownership world. And I remember I was at an event in the last year here in Austin. It was a woman event, and I'll never forget it. It gives me chills to think about it. There was a woman who stands up. She stood up. This is like a first event, like 200 women there. No one really knew each other. No one knew each other. And she stood up and she had the mic and she said, "Hi, my name is. I'm an accountant. I've been an accountant for like whatever 20 years. And something that really bothers me is that I see all these businesses every day that I'm dealing with their accounting." And she said 90% of the businesses I work with are owned by men. However, 95% of them are run by women, meaning their support of the man. So the man's over like, "This is my business." And meanwhile, like an entire staff who's actually running stuff is making crap happen are the women. Mm-hmm. And she looked around the room. She's like, "I'm tired of it." And I was like, "Oh, girlfriend, I feel ya. I'm tired of doing it myself." I mean, my first $1 million, zero to $1 million in 2005 and 2006 online was I teamed up with a man. He was the content, right? He was the face. I was completely okay. I was in the support role. I built everything. I built everything in the background, right? I built it all. And then one day he came back from an event. Actually, I came back from the event, and he came and he took all the money in my bank account. He completely cut everything off and he took the business. He sold the business. And he kind of was like, "Thanks." And that business is very successful to this day because I built it. How many listeners are in a relationship, husband, wife, or just in business, where they know they built that business, they built that home, they built that whole marriage, and they know they were the backbone? And yet, do they get any? I don't know. Do they get any love for that?
Not the recognition that they deserve.
They don't get that. And I'm kind of tired of that. And so I'm wanting to empower women to say, "No, that's mine. That's my work that I did. And I deserve more than what you're giving me." And they're going to go out and build their own things. I think that's what's happening now in corporate America. But I feel like that the construct is so super still strong. Right. They're just leaving and just starting their own thing.
Right, right. So how do we get to those women, Heather? I think back of when I was in corporate. I was so tethered to corporate. I didn't even think about starting something on my own until it came that time where the security badge got way too heavy for me. And I went in and said, "I'm leaving," to my boss. And he says, "So you're going to work for another bank or maybe one of our clients?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know, but it has to be more purposeful." And I think that that is something common I see in women, is that we don't run our business like a man runs his business. We think differently. You know, there is still the basics of running a business, that everything has to be done that way. But when it comes to setting the tone for the business or the mission or the purpose for the business, I think we do it a little bit different. How do we get to those women in corporate, Heather, to let them know that they have options?
Yeah, that's a great question. I will tell you two things that just came out when you were saying that it really resonate for me. One is, I remember when I left corporate America, a lot of my friends were like, "Well, you did so well in corporate America in sales, just go get another sales job." And there was this moment, kind of like what you've had, but similar. I just said, "I don't know what I want. I just know I don't want that." Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those, like, you're clear on what you don't want. So clear, you're not sure what you want, but that is still a decision. And therefore, there's an opening. And that's what happened to me. I actually ended up, from that moment, about 3 months later, I actually ended up moving to Orlando, started traveling the country and did over 450 events in 6 years. This is where I learned the art of sales and sales promotion, which brings me to the second point. The second point is women need to learn to sell themselves like a badass. Because men are amazing at selling themselves like a badass.
Right.
I'm amazing. I'm the boss. Let me tell you how this is going to go. Let me tell you how this is going to work, ladies. That's how you need to be. You got to learn to sell yourself like a badass. And that is the distinction. Women want to support. And I'm like, that's awesome. But the best way to support is actually to be the leader and sell yourself as a leader and sell yourself as a badass. Because when you take care of yourself, I don't have to tell any woman in the world, third world countries included, hey, when you get money, take care of your kids. Do I have to really tell them that? Women just do that. Yep. Men, whole different conversations. That's why we have baby daddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an innateness with women that when we start to learn how to be mature selfish, which is a beautiful word, mature selfish, when we take care of ourselves and learn to sell ourselves like a badass we are, that's the moment where tides start to turn. And it's turning.
Absolutely, it's turning. Absolutely. And I think that the next generation coming up, they don't see things the same way that my generation did. My generation was, oh, you do this, you do that, you get married, you go get a nice little job. And when the kids come along, you stay home. So that was laid out for my generation, more so than the younger generation. Now, one of the things that you say in your book is responsibility is power. Talk to me a little bit about that.
When this is really deep, right? So when we as human beings, say human beings, but women are hard on the level. When we as human beings can take full ownership of every single tiny area of our life, right? Every single area of life, not as a guilt, not as a we have to fix, not as a mother we have to go in and handle. When we're responsible for all areas of our life, another way to say this, when we are mature selfish, when we look at every area of our life, vitality, health, well-being, communication, sex, money, anything, mindset, marketing, business, when we start to own it, when we can own it, then we can change it. When we fall out of responsibility, that's called victimhood. It's like it's not my fault, it's his fault, it's their fault. If you're in a bad relationship or you're in a bad whatever, it's like let's own I'm in this relationship. That falls into not guilt, not victim, like you can change that versus, oh, well, I'm in a bad relationship, therefore I can't. That's called victimhood. And I want you to alter that no matter where you're in life, because when you're actually responsible, it's a huge gift you give yourself. It's the gift. And I remember when someone told me that, I started crying. I'm like, but there's all these, like, you know, but this person, no. When you're responsible for you allow that into your life on some level, you can then alter it. You can change it. You can change the perception of. And that is what I think all women need to be. And that's what the Me Too movement, that's everything. I mean, I understand the Me Too movement. Believe me, I understand it. I've been through many of those. Right. I have a lot of Me Too stories, but I come from a view of like I'm responsible for my experience of myself and how I present myself to the world and the next level. And that is a gift I give myself. And no one can take that from me. No one.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I remember quite a few years ago after getting a divorce, I remember one of my friends saying, Linda, this is your time now. Do the things that make you happy. Do the things that are fun. And I remember crying, and she thought, you know, maybe I hadn't taken my meds that day or something, you know, I don't know. But, you know, and so she said, why would you be crying? And I said, I don't even know what that is, because I had totally lost who I was, what I liked. I couldn't tell you anything about me. So, and I think a lot of women can relate to that, don't you think?
Oh, but you could tell that girlfriend everything about your ex-husband.
Absolutely.
You could tell, right, everything that what he wanted, his dreams
Absolutely.
And desires, what he liked to do, what he didn't like to do, what he does for laundry and doesn't do laundry. I mean, you could, right? Yeah. But then when someone goes, what do you want? What do you desire? What do you what do you want in your life? How do you want to feel? But my family. And so I always bring it back to something that I always say to myself. Never keep anyone in my life that's not part of my fan club. Never keep anyone in my life that's not part of my fan club. Now, we all have family that we know are not part of our fan club, but that doesn't mean they get to go inner circle. That doesn't mean they get to be close to you. That means you show up for Christmas and you smile and you're cute and you have your little casserole and you leave. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. You don't have to trap into their drama. They got drama in their life. Thank you. Have a great conversation. Nice drama. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested. So I think part of this is owning our space and owning just because people want to come at us and pull from us because we are very powerful doesn't mean that we have to allow them to. You get to say who is in your inner circle and not. You get to say who's in your tribe or not. Just because you're supposed to. Now, going back to what you said earlier, which I love it, I'm born, raised Houston. You and I had that connection. I was born and bred to have babies. My mom said to me, like, okay, look what you do. You don't find a man that you really love. You find a man that's going to provide for you, have babies. But, I mean, what? Right? So when I told her, in Fort Worth, Texas, one day in coffee, and I'm engaged with this very lovely man who was a banker, by the way. So I get that. I said, I don't love him. She's like, honey, it's not about love. It's about he'll provide for you. So when I broke up with him, she was like, what are you doing? Right. No, 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 that's not part of the plan. You're a Southern woman. I'm like, but mom,
you're a Southern woman. That's right.
You're a Southern woman. I was like, he is boring. He goes to work at 9. He comes home at 5. He's got all these boring rituals. You know what I mean? So she's like, but it's not about that. He'll love you and he'll take care of you. And it's not about you actually getting what you want. I mean, she said that to me. And that's not because she's mean. It's because that's what she was taught by generation, by generation, by generation. 7 generations in. Right. I mean, I had this really epiphany. I'll share this real quick because it's really epiphany. And I started bawling. Talking about bawling. I had a situation where I kind of hired a spiritual teacher. And she said something about this, about being responsible in finances and being responsible and breaking the glass ceiling. We're looking at that. And she goes, who in your generation that you know of, like generation on both sides, the family, who in your generation on the woman's side do you know who really stood for herself and took care of herself financially? And I had to look. Right. I looked. No one. Yeah. No one. Not one woman that I know of in my generational on both sides of my family, all women were imprisoned by their husbands. All of them. I'm the only one breaking. She's like, you're breaking a chain of at least 100 years. Do you understand that?
Sure.
Do you understand how powerful that is? At least 100 years. You have no one in your generationally in your family on both sides. And even as of today, me and my sister have broken that. But still, we still have like cousins and all that. We haven't broken that either. So I think it's an interesting conversation. And it's not a, by the way, it's not a diss to women who want to have that. That's great. But there is a new wave happening, right? So I think I want to really make sure that I honor the people that want to go through that path.
Absolutely. You know, Heather, had that conversation with my daughter. She's now 40, but this was back when she was in her 20s. And her friends, she wasn't married, and there was nothing on the horizon, and she was doing very well financially for herself. And she had friends that said, you know, you just need to find somebody and sit down and have babies, just like what you were saying. And I said, you know, absolutely not. When she told me that, I was just mortified that her friends would encourage her to just settle for something. And I said, you don't settle for anything in any aspect of your life. Now, she didn't get married until she was in her early 30s, you know, and her family didn't start until then. And the other day she was saying, Mom, I remember when I took the trips and I, you know, had the money. And I said, there are a lot of your friends that don't even have those memories. So, you know, always be able to have those memories that you were ready. You had lived a life, a single life, and now you were ready to start your family instead of just saying, oh, it looks like it's time.
So everyone else is doing it, so I should do it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right.
And that's a very Southern thing, by the way. If you're in the South, you know what we're talking about.
Yep, most definitely. You get married, you have babies, you show up with a casserole, and,
yes!
you know, that's our life, right?
Please. The casserole. That is so, you have no idea. Oh,
that's what we do.
That's what we do. We show with casseroles. That's what you do. That's what you
that's
do when you're a
do.
Southern woman.
That's right. But, you know, I recently saw some updated stats about women in business, and it really was encouraging for me. So what I read was there are 11.6 million businesses owned by women. They employ almost 9 million people. They generate 1.7 trillion in sales. So I do see that the tide is turning a bit, Heather. I really see this as a positive thing. So how can we continue to support the women that are out there? How can we continue to take advantage of this, as we call it, the tsunami?
It's really a mind shift. I really want to share this story with you, if you don't mind, because it's a mind shift, and it's the aha moment I just had about 8 weeks ago personally. So I was at a big event, a very large event, like 6,500 people. They're all in the information marketing, digital marketing space. And I've been going to this event for 9 years, since the beginning. So I've been around a long time in this event. And they had what I call a morning breakfast at 7 a.m. on one of the days. And the intention of it was, of course, to draw people in to then sell them into a very large, very expensive mastermind. And I didn't want to go, but my sister was like, come on, we're having free breakfast. I'm like, all right, let's go. I'll go for the free breakfast, because I've been to the event. I've been to in that mastermind before, and it's just not something I want to do. And I thought, well, let's go and have some free breakfast, because I also really love watching when they're trying to pitch a really high-end product, right? I'm always learning. So I'm sitting there, and I'm in my little corner with my sister having our eggs and free breakfast, which was awesome, and this round table, and it was pretty much all men in the room. And there was three men who run the event, and they're selling other men into this mastermind, right? And so, again, we're just there for entertainment. And they're going on and on. And so one of the things they said, the front of the room to pitch, right, to sell, was, don't think of this as an ROI. This is about your bros. This is about being part of the bros, right? Now, I almost threw up eggs in my mouth, right? Right? I'm like, gee, are you kidding me? I don't want to say what I really said to myself. So I'll just say, oh, my goodness gracious, darling. I didn't really say that, but you know what I mean. So I'm literally like throwing up eggs in my mouth, rolling my eyes. And the only other women in the room were the smoking hot chicks in the back who take the money, right? So you get the world of that. And one plant, I call the planter. They had one woman who's a member who they planted her. So that's cute. And then there were these other guys at the table. They were all obviously being pitched. They were interested. They were there to, you know, their potential. And they look at us and they go, by the way, y'all part of this? I go, well, we used to be part of it, but not anymore. And he said, well, can you explain to us again what we get for $30,000? And I look at him, I go, you get to be part of the bros. He's like, yeah, what does that do for our business? He's like, I was like, the bros never let the other bros go down, man. Like, they make sure, right? They have money. And he's like, I don't get it. I said, hold on. So then the other one of the guys stand up, and this is where I really lost it in my head. He's like, one day I was really down and out, man. I wasn't making any money. I was like losing my shirt, blah, blah, blah. Poor story. He's like, and one of my bros from the mastermind called me. He's like, got your back, man. He threw me some cash. Another guy called me and go, I got your back, man. I'll do a promotion for you, man. I got your back, man. What happened is the men surrounded him and pulled him up. Right. And this, I mean, this is old school Rotary. I mean, this is why Rotary existed. Right. This is old school. This is old school. And I literally again threw up eggs in my mouth again. And I, my sister's looking at me like, did that just happen? I'm like, that did. That just happened. And so here's what I got to. I walked out of that of 7 a.m. breakfast. And I thought, Heather, stop being upset. You know what? Stop it. Here's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build the most successful and largest female-centric mastermind of entrepreneurs in the damn world, where no woman is left behind. And all those women in that room are going to be multimillionaires, and we're going to surround each one of them, and we're going to make them all successful. No more competition between women. Done.
Right. Right.
Right? And I was like, that's what I'm creating. Now, this is only 8 weeks ago. Okay. So like, I'm still building this out in my head, but I really feel it's time because women go in competition with each other. If you're in business and you thrive, I win when you thrive, because I promise you, you're going to make an impact in other people's lives. Your daughter, your kids, everyone around you. I don't have to tell you, hey, you need to make a difference. I don't have to tell you that. But when I can support you on way more than just like, you're amazing, actually go, hey, you know what? I'll give you a bridge loan. No problem. I'll write you a check right now. Let's do this. Hey, can we go in business together and go buy a convenience store together? Why not? Why are women not doing that? Because we're not taught to do that. Men are taught that when they're playing football together.
It's all about the team, man.
Right? When the team doesn't win, we're only as weak as the weakest link, right? So let's pull up the weakest link and make sure we're all a team. We are not taught that. We're in cheerleading where we got to kill off the other cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not about team environment. And so I'm like, that, I'm done with that. It's time to have a new revolution of a conversation around every one woman in here. We're going to be multimillionaires. And here's the deal, ladies. You don't have to like each other. You don't have to be besties. I'm not interested in that. But here's what you have to do. You have to pick up the phone when they call. When they call you and they're part of this tribe, you take their call. And you make sure that they're successful, because when they're successful, we're all successful.
Heather, absolutely love that, because what I see, and that's one of the reasons that I created the women's group up here just recently, Women of Wealth, is because I want to create that type of environment where we not just support each other and learn from each other, but are there when we need each other. Not just a hug. I'm not talking about that.
More than that.
You know, I'm not talking about, we go to a shower together and we, drink the little eat the little pedophores and drink the punch. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about serious business women that understand how to help each other in business. So I love the concept, and I'll tell you, nobody's doing it, Heather. Nobody's doing
it. I am. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I've been in so many masterminds. I'm just the only woman. I mean, I can't tell you how many I've been in. I've had men say, go get me coffee. They've literally said to me, go, you need to go get the coffee. I'm pretty sure I flipped them off in the bird. But I think that, because I've been in those environments so much. Here's the things that women don't know. When you're in a room environment with all men and they're sitting there talking about business for 2 or 3 days in a private setting, let me tell you some things they don't talk about. They don't talk about their wives. They don't talk about their kids. They don't talk about what's going on at home. You don't talk about making money. That's all they talk about, making money. And they'll say, hey, I need this. And one guy's like, I gotcha. And they'll throw them like whatever. They'll throw them a price point of something that's $25,000. They'll just give it to them. Because they know that when they support each other that way, at a whole other level of support, not how women are. Not like a big hug and you're so adorable, let me do some meditation for you. Or you send you a prayer. No. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I help you make some money? I got a connection for you. Or for I've seen this happen. No lie. Guys in there talking about actually how he's having really big issues at the house and something like that, and the woman doesn't want him here, and it caused a lot of strife. You know what they all said? Divorce her. I have a great attorney. We'll take care of you. But see, here's the thing. Right? Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad or whatever. Like, who knows the situation, right? But the point is that men say, hey, if there's something going on here, what do you need? Uh-huh. We'll go write the check for you.
Absolutely.
Or, hey, what do you need? I know somebody. And you know what? That situation, then he came back 3 months later. He did get a divorce. I mean, it's not me to say what was right or wrong, right? But what they were saying to you is, if that situation's not working for you, get rid of it so we can help you more. That's what they were saying. Mm-hmm. Women would be like, well, let's have a conversation to make sure your relationship is amazing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, you know what? If it's not going to work out, don't worry. I got a great attorney for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I know that sounds, that sounds harsh. It's not harsh. It's actually making sure that the people, the tribe, everyone is striving and everyone's thriving. Mm-hmm. You think of a football team. I promise you, whoever just won this last year, they're not all besties. Yeah, they're not all best friends in there, but they're a team. Once they put on that outfit, they are a team, and they make sure everyone is successful on that team,
definitely,
inside and outside of the locker room. And that's the point, is that you have to be willing to say, I want to be a success, and I'm willing to walk into an environment where they're going to question things, they're going to ask me questions, they're going to inspire me, motivate me, and push me. Mm-hmm. That's the environment I want.
Absolutely. Heather, we got to take a real quick commercial break here.
Oh, yeah,
before
sure.
we go, if someone's listening and go and says, holy cow, just like I did, I want to know more about Heather and this mastermind group that she's putting together. How would they reach out to you and find out more information?
Well, thank you. My website's heatherhavenwood.com. And, you know, I'm just now building this out. So my best email right now is media@sexybossinc.com, sexybossinc.com. And just reach out to me and let's have a conversation about what works.
Very good. Okay, folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be back with more from Heather Heavenwood.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Hey folks, welcome back to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Ballesteros, and my guest today is Heather Heavenwood. And Heather has been talking straight talk to us, ladies. Sometimes in whether you're reading a book or you're listening to someone, there's a lot of dancing around the topic. Well, there's no dancing today. Heather is telling it straight up how it is, and I love that. Heather, do you see that sometimes women don't totally commit to the process of creating their own business or actually taking their thought all the way through? They maybe they dabble in it, even though it's a great idea.
Yeah, so here's what's happening with that. There's a couple things on a mindset level. So what's interesting about this is that when I work with clients, it's a lot about marketing and sales, but then most of it's about mindset, right? Here's what's happening. Most women, I'm generalizing again, we wait because of social conditioning, especially if you're a Southern woman like me. We wait for permission. We wait for permission. So we have an idea, and then we wait for permission to tell us, someone to tell us it's okay to go forward. Now, you might not even know that consciously. It might be subconscious, but here's why that's just happening. I don't know about you, but I grew up Southern, right? And I grew up where you go to school in second grade, third grade, fourth grade, first day class. What do they say? You do what you're told, be a good little girl, never talk out, burst out, raise your hand before talking, all that stuff, right? And I'll never forget this one that really aha'd me. And I'll tell you like a quick little story. I was second grade, Miss George in North Houston. And I'm sitting there and I have to go to the bathroom. I got to go potty. And I was told, right, don't go without permission. So I'm sitting there raising my hand. I don't know. I'm just like waving my hand, and I'm sitting like a good little girl in the seat, and I'm raising my hand. Well, I couldn't hold it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I went potty right over my seat, all over me. But now everyone knows I'm extremely embarrassed, right? They had to call my mom and get new clothes and the whole thing, right? And I never forget this. We're now back into the classroom with me, Miss George, and my mom. No one's there. And she looked at me and goes, sweetheart, why didn't you just go? I go, but you told me. You told me that I'm not allowed to without permission. And she looked at me and goes, but sweetie, you had to go with okay. And I go, but now I'm confused. Which one is it?
Right, right.
Right? Now, how old am I? 8 at this point, second grade. But I'll never forget that. It was such a prominent moment because how many times in our lives as women do we go, we knew that was the right thing to do. It was okay to probably break through the barrier, but we go, I want to be a good bad girl. I don't want people to be mad at me. I don't want my family to be upset. Oh, I got to take care of my family. And then you put yourself in a small little box. And then people go, why didn't you tell us it's what you wanted? Right? Mm. How many times does that happen? I remember the movie Joy with Jennifer Lawrence about the story of that marvelous woman. That's exactly what happened to her. She went against the family. And what happened to the family? They balked at her, yelled at her. And then what happened? She's a multimillionaire. Oh, now we love you, right? She's a multimillionaire. Oh, by the way, oh, that was amazing. Thank you so much for completely not listening to us and going after what you want. Mm-hmm. So that's that piece right there, the breaking of the mold is the hardest part. It's the hardest part. But I go back to never keep anyone in your life that's not part of your fan club. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the people that are not part of your fan club will fall away. But part of this, just going back to your question, we want something. We desire something. And then we hold ourselves back. And we go talk to our girlfriends. Or we go have a glass of wine and go, I have this idea. And we're actually waiting for someone to look at us and go, great idea. Go for it. We're waiting.
Right.
Instead, we get, oh, you shouldn't do that, or, oh, I don't know if it's a great idea, or blah, 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 blah. Here's what I say to you. Don't tell anyone about your idea unless it's your coach. The coach will give you truth and feedback and go, awesome idea, let's work on it and see how we can make it happen. Right?
Right.
So the worst people you can say anything to about your idea is your friends, family, or spouse, okay? The best person is yourself, God, and coach. Because in that moment, you can actually have it happen. My book, Sexy Boss, I didn't tell anyone about it except me, my coach, and my writer I was working with. It wasn't until after it came out did I actually even talk about it. What's interesting is I got all this backlash. I had women come up to me, how dare you put sex and boss together? I had men come up to me and go, women don't want to be a sexy boss. I had so much backlash. But by that point, it was already out, right? So I can handle it. It was done. The idea was out. So it's about permission. That's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I also believe that family and friends, they want to protect you from failing. And if they hear an idea that is outside of that box, they want to protect you. They also want to protect themselves. Because they don't want you to succeed, because it will then show that they're still in that box. It reminds them that they're still in that box and that you took the chances. I wish I had taken the chance and left corporate many years before. I was in banking for 30 plus years. But I didn't know this existed. There wasn't the internet. We didn't have access to information. Today, we have access to more information than we could even comprehend, that we can absorb, but we need to do something with it. It's not just about reading it. We've got access to it all day long on the computer. We've got access to it when we go out networking, but few women actually jump in and make that happen, 100% committed. Don't you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They have a hard time committing to it. Mainly it's not because they're not capable of committing, because women are extremely, we commit. When we commit, man, like, watch out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we feel we have to get permission from our tribe, and that tribe could be family. That could be whatever. And that's why the mastermind idea and other things is I want to be able to create a tribe outside of your little world at home and go, no, we're going to give you the permission. We're going to give you the support over here so that when you go back into your current situation, your home life, right, you can actually become stronger every single day and move through the things you want to move through. And so I always talk about this one specific question that helped me move through massive financial destruction. So in 2006, I was in massive bank. I was in bankruptcy. I had to wipe out. I lost my house. I lived in my car. Like, it was massive. And the year before that, I went from zero to $1 million in 1 year. Like, so it was this huge, like, peak valley. More like a peak in a crash. And I literally had to figure out how to move myself out of this deep, dark valley. I didn't have Daddy Warbucks. I didn't have a rich uncle. I didn't have a dad to go, it's okay, honey, I got you. I didn't have any of that. I had to figure it out myself. And I really had this old view of a Cinderella that a man was going to come whisk me away on his white horse and everything's going to be okay. And my friend said to me, no one's coming. No one's coming to come get you. You've got to figure this out on your own. And so another dear friend of mine said, I want you to start asking yourself this question. Because I was really in a place, I'm sure, ladies, you've experienced this. It could have been divorce. It could have been a loss of something. We all have our own story. Where you know you need to move. You know you need to move forward, but you just feel stuck or you feel just confused. You're not sure which direction. So he said to me, I want you to start asking yourself this question before you do anything in life. And he goes, I go, what that? I got nothing going on, my friend Richard. And he goes, here's the question. Does it feed my confusion or strengthen my clarity? Does it feed my confusion or strengthen my clarity? Now, he gave me an analogy of a train. You ever seen a train at dead stop? Think of the power of a train that has to go from dead stop to full momentum. It's a lot, right? He said, once you're clear, right, then you can move like a train, slow movement. Once you can move, it's only then can you actually begin to get the momentum. Once you get momentum, then you get power. Ever seen a train at full speed? Powerful. Watch out, right? How do you get to that? How do you get to that when you feel stuck? He's like, you start to ask yourself the question before you do anything. Does it feed my confusion or strengthen my clarity? If it adds confusion, you get rid of it. If it adds clarity, you do it. If it adds confusion, you get rid of it. And sometimes, by the way, this is our girlfriends. This is our husbands. Sometimes there are people that in our life, you're like, that has a lot of confusion in my life. I'm stepping away. Because it's about the fact that you want to get to power. We want to get to momentum. We want to get to clarity. Right. So how do you do that? You start asking yourself that question. Now, when he said this to me, I'm literally broke. I'm so broke at this time. We're having dinner. He had to give me money to get back home with gas. Like, that's how bad it was. OK, just give you like really bad. And I said, Richard, I got nothing going on. He goes, I want you to start asking yourself that question before you eat that chocolate cake. You started with the littlest thing. Does it feed your confusion or strengthen your clarity to eat a chocolate cake? I'm like, well, exactly. So once we get to that point as women, of what's going to help us get more clear, then we can have the permission within ourselves to go after what we want.
I love that. I just love that, Heather, because that really defines it pretty. That gives you some guidelines. Okay, something comes in front of you. Does it feed my confusion? Or does it strengthen my clarity? Because we're always saying, gosh, I wish I was more clear. Gosh, I wish I had the right answers. Well, by asking this of everything that crosses our path, I think that can give us clarity. Now, I know that you talked about this means family and friends as well. Now,
yeah.
Keep in mind, folks, when Heather's talking about that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what that means is you have an inner circle of people that you feel very, very comfortable in being vulnerable and sharing with them. That doesn't always mean family, right, Heather?
Right. Just because they're your cousin or your brother or your sister doesn't mean that they are in your inner circle. Mm-hmm. Your inner circle is the tribe that you covet. They are the people that really know what's going on. That's why I believe that everyone should have a coach, because a coach is a third entity. They haven't known you since you were 7. You know, they haven't known you when you were 13 having braces. They don't know that part of you. Their whole job is to support you into whatever and what you want. That's why a mastermind is so important. That's why men from the beginning of time had Rotary and men's clubs, because that's where they got away from the family. They were with their peers and said, hey, here's what's really going on. Do you have a resource? How, you know, here's what I have. How can I help you? Here's what I need. Can you help me? That's why they did that. and they moved away from the home family and kept them in a specific space. Now, the reason that is because when you move yourself outside of your current world, we all have our own little world. What I mean by that is we have our little world that we live in every day. It kind of becomes a bubble. And unless you move outside a bubble every now and then and start to see other opportunities and listen to other people, you kind of get stuck. And that's what I mean by that. So you have to be able to be willing to say, hey, you know, just because I know you, just because you're my cousin or you're my brother or sister doesn't mean you're in my inner circle. Doesn't mean you really know what's happening in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really important, especially my thoughts of like going after what I want. And I share those, what my dreams are, with only very specific people. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I'm just not interested in what everyone thinks. I'm interested in what I want to do. And people go, oh, that's so selfish. I'm like, that's not selfish. It's called mature selfishness. You don't look at it. Look, let me ask this question. If I go up to Bill Gates right now and go, you know, Bill, you're being so selfish. You really need to, you know, stop doing what you're doing and focus on, you know, other people first. Now, he is doing a lot of philanthropy now.
Absolutely.
But when he first got started, what did he do? Focus on himself. Mm-hmm. He focused on what he can do now. And I think women have to take that role. We've got to put ourselves first. And look, I believe in God, and I do, and I think one of the worst things we're taught is God first, other second, I am third. That is such crap. Mm-hmm. God first, great, me second. Mm-hmm. And when I'm healthy, when I'm wealthy, when I'm healthy, then I can take care of my little birds, right? I can take care of my family. I can take care of my children. I can take care of my husband. But if I'm not full, if I'm not wealthy and healthy and of good mind, how in the world am I supposed to take care of other people?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I think I was taught that at a very Baptist girl from the South, right? First,
sure.
God first,
sure.
I'm second, sure. I'm third. We were taught that like in second grade. I was taught that.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
So definitely. I had to break that mold.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're coming to the end of the show, and I could go on for another hour. I'm just so enjoying this. But if someone's listening out there right now, how can they find out more about you, about your book, Sexy Boss? How can they reach you?
Absolutely. My name is HeatherHavenwood.com, HeatherHavenwood.com. And I'm going to give you a URL right now. And what it is, it's my free gift of my three free chapters of my audiobook, Sexy Boss. But when I give you the URL, what's going to happen is it's going to open up Facebook Messenger. And you're going to have a whole conversation with me, little chat bot, my Sexy Boss chat bot. So I want you to write this URL down, and you could open up later on your mobile or desktop. And here it is. It's askheatherann.com. I'm going to give it to you again, askheatherann.com. And what, again, happens is it opens up your Facebook Messenger, and at the end of the conversation with me, you get three free chapters of my audiobook. And, yeah, I am very Southern. My mother named me Heather Ann, but it was usually when I was in trouble. You know, like, Heather Ann! I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. Right. She only called me Heather Ann when I was in deep, deep trouble. So she was Julianne, and I'm Heather Ann.
Of course.
So,
oh, I love it.
HeatherAnn.com.
Very good. Heather, we're down to those last three questions. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
Oh, wow. What kept me going? A desire to have more in my life than what was given to me, right? Really just being able to be at the end of my road and my nursing home or wherever I end up and just go, I went for it, you know? That's what kept me going.
The next question is, other than a coach, who's influenced you the most?
I've had a lot of people that are in my life that are coaches by trade who have just really, truly influenced me on multiple levels. If it wasn't for them, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be, you know, who knows? So Richard, Kim, these are coaches and consultants in my life. Terry, these are people that were there for me. When you are broke, and I'm talking like broke, you really find out who your friends are. You know what I mean? And so those people that stuck by me during that time are truly inspirational to me and inspire me every day.
You know, it's interesting, Heather, because many times I get the answer, oh, my father or my mother. But, you know, they do influence us. But,
sure.
You know, not I very seldom get the answer that a coach or someone out there, dear friends, that encouraged me, that inner circle. Again, the inner circle doesn't have to be your mom and dad. They love you.
No.
They'll always love you. But that's not necessarily the person that influences you to be who you are, more than what you think you are. And,
you know, it's interesting, just real quick, you know, my dad said to me one time, he said, I helped bring you into this world. That's pretty much my job is done. So, and then at the age of like, I was like 25 when I called him one time in tears about something in life. I don't know what I was trying to go through. And he goes, I quit. I'm going to get you a coach. Like, I don't want to do this. And see, that sounds really harsh. So I called the day my dad fired himself being a parent, I got a coach. So he actually helped me get a coach. And, at the time, I was really mad at him, of course, but I get it because this coach is third person. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Their
right.
whole job is right. to say, what do you want? And they're not putting any of their backstory with me into anything. And so the day my dad fired me, I got a coach, and that was literally 20 years ago.
I love that.
And so, my dad fired himself as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I get that. I kind of actually go, wow, that was smart, not mm-hmm. inspirational, mm-hmm. smart. And his job was to make sure that I survived and had food. But that's the only mm-hmm. thing. For him, that's his view. I don't think parents have to be the inspiration. Their job is really to make sure that their kid, you know, breathes. And that's awesome. And it's really up to us to be fully responsible for our lives. It's not up to them to make it successful. Mm-hmm. It's just
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leave the nest.
That's right.
Leave the nest. Go back for Christmas with a casserole.
yeah, absolutely. Okay, the last question here. Is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that you want to share with our listeners today?
Oh, wow. Oof. Yes, I wish I had known that I'm 100% unemployable. 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been resisting it so much. I'm 100% unemployable, and I would have owned me being an entrepreneur 20 years ago faster.
Right.
I have owned it for a long time, but not the level that I could have.
Yeah, totally agree. Heather, it's been such a pleasure. I just absolutely loved having you on the show. And I am sure that we will stay in touch because I want to hear more about what you're doing and how you're helping, you know, other women to become more unemployable.
Unemployable, 100% unemployable. Yeah, go to AskHeatherAnn.com. And again, that's my chatbot. But I also am there. That's how you communicate with me. So if I start talking to you, it really is me. I think it's me. It's not an assistant. So that's the best way to get a hold of it.
Great. Okay, Heather, thanks again for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Folks, I hope that you were able to take some notes because Heather was certainly sharing some great information on what's holding us back as women especially. And you know that I always leave you with a quote, and here's one I want to leave you with today. My mission is to champion women everywhere to awaken the sexy boss within and realize their greatness and do it with attitude. That's a quote by Heather Havenwood. Folks, thanks so much for joining me today on Empower Radio Show. Look forward to having you next time as well.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.